real short. I had a little something happen to me this past week, and the Lord quickened something to me, so I wanted to share it. But I was at the, I always go to the city dump on Saturday, and so there was a lady there, and so I just said, "Hey, how you doing?" Just trying to be nice. And she said, "Well, I'm doing okay, except for that idiot that's up in the White House." So sort of took me back a little bit. So I just thought my thought went along this line. There's people are so swept over by the tide of a piercing darkness in the world today. And it's just not politics. It is literally everything. Have y'all noticed that? It's just out there. People are really affected. But guess what? Christians can be affected too. So the Lord sort of caused me to examine myself. And here's the scripture he quickened to me. I'm just read it. It's in the Amplified Version, but it's Matthew 6:21-23. For where your treasure is, there your heart, your wishes, your desires, that in which your life centers be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear, spiritually perceptive, your whole body will be full of light, benefiting from God's precepts. But if your eye is bad, spiritually blind, your whole body will be full of darkness, devoid of God's precepts. So if the very light inside you, your inner self, your heart, your conscience is darkness, how great and terrible is that darkness? Have y'all ever experienced that? You know, and it seemed like God was just working in me to ask him to help me not to be so lazy and careless in my Christian journey. And with all the noise and the clutter out here, it takes the grace of God, the presence of God, us staying, me, and I believe maybe some of you too, maybe everyone, being connected to God like never before. Because this flood out here is not going to go away. How many of y'all know that after reading the Bible? But at the same time, we have a faithful, loving God. He is gracious. He is merciful. He's patiently many times waiting for us to turn to him. He's not going to put us in a wrestling hold and pile drive us into the kingdom. There is a voice that is, it's not with a lot of fire and a lot of clutter, but it's a small still voice that will lead us to sit at his feet and not be so carried away with the activities of this life. I need that. And I believe the simplicity as we leave here and the news keeps getting darker. I mean, everything is tainted with the loosing of Satan. There's a place in God where we can shine as stars, still know that we have a purpose. We can have a peace. I desire to be willing just to cry out to God more. And I need him to help me with that because I get so busy and fixed with this flood out here. It brings me to a place where I'm careless and indifferent. But thank God for his presence this morning. I probably wouldn't have gotten up if Cleve hadn't gotten up because he said somewhat the same thing. So I said, you know what, I need to go ahead and share this. So praise the Lord.
Praise God. I appreciate the Lord's presence today, and I just appreciate his faithfulness. We just sang that song, there is a place in God where rest is complete. There is a place in God where we sit at his feet. And you remember when Mary and Martha were in the house, and Martha was running about, and Jesus was there, and she got irritated with Mary because she was just sitting there listening to Jesus. And she said, "Hey, have her help me, you know." And Jesus, he told her, he said, she's chosen the proper thing, and it's not going to be taken away from her. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. And we think about that sometimes, you know, in our life, if we could have been there, we would have been sitting there listening to Jesus too. But we have the capacity in Christ to sit and listen to Christ, to spend time with Christ. And Joel was just alluding to that. And you know, the way I tell you where the gospel really matters is where it touches our lives. It is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living Christ. Not only does he live, but because he lives and because of what he does for us and because he's our high priest, he enables us to be able to be in complete communion with our Father. That's one of the greatest things about the gospel, is not just that Jesus died on a cross and rose again. That is very important. Without that, we would have no hope. We would have no cleansing from sin. He paid the ultimate price. But the thing of it was, he rose again. Not only did he rise again, he sent his Holy Spirit back here. He seals us by his Spirit, and it is by his Spirit that we're connected to the Father and to each other. But the thing of it is, there's a connection to him, and there's a connection that's available where we can sit and be in his presence and listen to him. That is what the gospel is all about, is to bring us back to our Father and restore a right relationship with God. But God is our Father. He's God. He's this awesome God. He spoke the world into existence. He and Jesus, I mean, just a spoken, powerful word, full of power, created life, just boom, there it was. I'll tell you what, God hasn't changed. And the word that he's speaking to us is changing us. But along with the word are circumstances that prevail in our lives to cause us to exercise ourselves in a way of faith that would draw us to him and to be sitting at his feet and saying, God, help me. He doesn't want to just help us when we're in a terrible, distraught place. He wants us to be like Mary. I mean, they're going to have a meal, and she's still sitting there at his feet. The Lord's purpose is not for us just to him to have to pull us back to himself when we've run so far away. He wants us to live with him and spend time with him. And you know what? In the end, when that New Jerusalem comes down, what does it say? And his dwelling is with men. When heaven is complete and the end of all things has happened, and the sheep are separated from the goats, and we're there living with him eternally, the purpose is God dwells with man. But it says that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places. Heavenly places? You know, that's kind of where Mary was sitting, in a heavenly place, listening to Jesus. But the thing of it is, he wants that presence to be experienced in the dark world that we live in. Otherwise, how is anybody going to be able to see the real light that they need? Light looks a lot brighter in a really, really dark. It's like being in a cavern or a cave where there's no light. If you turn a light on, it's like blinding. You can't deny it. And Jesus cannot be denied. He's going to show up. One day he's going to show up completely before the whole world. People are going to be shocked that Jesus is who he said he is. And it wasn't some painting of this guy on a cross. He is Lord of all. He is worthy of our lives. But what's so amazing about him? I mean, it was God in the flesh. But he came to rescue us. Not just to save us from hell. He wants us to be in a relationship with our Father. How wonderful is that? And that's what it's all about. When Joel, well, I actually had a conversation with my tall brother Phil over here this morning. He came in and he did say what he just said. He said, you know, I've got nothing. We'll just see what the Lord has. And I told him, I said, well, you know, this week, I'll just share this. It kind of reminds me of back to what Joel was saying there. You know, we should all experience Jesus Christ. He is there not just for some big experience. He wants us to walk with him. And he provides by his Holy Spirit and us walking with him in his presence something worth living for. There's a peace. There's a rest. You know, Jesus, no matter what was going on, it seemed like, I mean, people looked at him and said, he ain't worried about anything. Well, he wasn't, because he knew his Father had everything under control. And it wasn't just that his Father was so big. He dwelled with his Father. And he experienced the presence of the Father in his life. And he got what he needed from the Father. And when he went out, he was armed and ready. He was full of strength and power. And he, you know what? God provides rest and peace. You know, when His Spirit is in here, you talk about something powerful. It is truly that power that works within us. You know, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that has worked within us. What is that power? It's Him. And I tell you what, He can do anything. But as was said earlier, we as Christians can become cold. Now that's a shame. The Lord doesn't want us to be cold. And I tell you what, He doesn't condemn us, but He always knows how to get our attention. And I was telling Brother Phil this morning, I said, it was like midweek, and I just felt kind of just disconnected from God. And it wasn't that I hadn't prayed in that long of a period of time or whatever, but, you know, the Lord allows circumstances to prevail so that we can get our eyes back on Him if that's what it takes. Okay, and this was not some insurmountable trial. It wasn't like 1,000 kidney stones or something. I got past all that. But you know what? It shows you, you know, there's times where things can really be going well. We need God when we're on the mountain just as much as we need Him when we're in the valley. And because, again, He doesn't change. Jesus didn't stop seeking His Father when He had a good day or when He fed these 1,000 here or there. He just stayed in touch with the Father. He stayed in touch with Him. It was a relationship. But I felt kind of disconnected myself. And I thought about a verse. It's in Isaiah. And it says, it alludes to the Lord's goodness and His faithfulness. It says, therefore, I will set my face like a flint. In other words, I'm going to look dead on. And I've experienced that before when I felt disconnected from the God. And I went out to pray and said, Lord, I don't know what it's going to take, but I know one thing. You're my help. And I'm going to keep going to You till I hear back from You. Because You haven't gone anywhere. Maybe I have. But I'm going to seek You, Lord. Because You said, come near to Me, and I'll come near to You. That's a promise. And as I started just talking to Him in the afternoons and evenings, I don't know. The only way I can describe is this. You know, if you know the Lord's presence and you know the Lord, there's nothing like His presence. And I was, you know, I've been reading the Bible. I was right up on my plan and everything. I tell you what, we need Jesus when we read the Bible. We need His Holy Spirit. You know why? Apart from Him, we can do nothing. We can't even understand anything. It's great to read the Bible, it's great to sing, and it's great to pray, but I'll tell you what, it's by the Spirit that we do these things. But I was just talking to the Lord in the afternoons, and it was like by the end of the week, my peace was restored, okay? But I knew it was not from me, it was because He honors His Word, and I had come near to Him, and He had come near to me. But it's more than just that. It was the fact, I said this, it's because we have a great high priest. Do you know that He intercedes for us? He intercedes for us when we fail. He intercedes for us. You think, well, gosh, if I didn't do anything bad, I don't know how much I need God to intercede for me. As long as you're breathing, you have a part of you that is flesh, and flesh is against God. The reason why we can so quickly go away from God is our flesh is away from God in the first place. That's what He died to save us from, is this flesh, and the nastiness of this flesh. And it's rough. You know, there's some people that can look pretty good and all that, but I tell you what, self-righteousness is rotten to the core. There is nothing good about it. There's nothing good about it. We need Jesus Christ. Okay? But I thought, after just talking to the Lord and the Lord helping me, I thought, isn't it amazing that we can be far away from God or you just feel that way? Maybe we haven't been looking to Him the way we should. How could He possibly bring us back into His presence and accept us? He saw us when we had failed. I tell you what, it's because when He came here, He took on Himself flesh. He said it pleased Him in Hebrews 2 to be made just like His brothers and sisters. He's made just like us. And so when we... Or, you know, the Word says that because He suffered when He was tempted, He can help those who are being tempted. We have an innate, we can easily be tempted because we have flesh. But because Jesus took on the same thing that we are, He became the ultimate high priest. He's referred to as the great high priest. He's not just the high priest. And that was a thing, too. It was right in my Bible reading, right in the middle of all this, it was talking about Jesus being from a different order, a different priestly line. You remember the Levites, that the law had them being the priests, and that was it. But it says in Hebrews that if the priesthood is changed, the law has to be changed. You know who changed it? God changed it. He said, you are my son and you're a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And you know Melchizedek, the guy that met Abraham? It was like, this is almost kind of weird. Abraham goes and slaughters these kings, and this man shows up. He's actually a king and a priest. Do you know the Levites? You couldn't be a priest and be a king. But is Jesus Christ a king? Yes. Is he a priest?
Yes.
Is he worthy?
Yes.
He is a king and a priest like Melchizedek. And that's what God said. He's a whole different priest. I tell you, he's a great high priest. And because he ever lives, he helps each one of us in our hour of need. And this is what thrills me, is the more I go along, no matter where I'm at, Jesus is alive. He intercedes, it says that he intercedes daily. I'm going to read just one verse. And this is from, let's see, I guess it's Hebrews, Hebrews 7. Therefore, this is 7, we'll start in, I guess, 25. Well, I'm sorry, I'm going to find it on my Bible app so I don't quote it wrong. It won't take me that long if the YouVersion comes up here. If it disappears, I'm running away from the pulpit. I'm in Isaiah. Let me get the Hebrews here. Lord is faithful. It takes Him quickening our minds to make any measure of truth real. I mean, you can read a whole book, read a whole chapter, but you ever notice sometimes He speaks to you, it might just be half a verse. Because we can only retain so much, we have a hard problem retaining stuff, but you know it takes a supernatural revelation of God to understand anything. And usually he speaks in that small, still voice, and it may not be a whole book. But he quickens that which makes us alive and helps us at that moment, right? Okay, let me go to Hebrews 7 here. Okay. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. You know, the job of a priest, it says in Hebrews 5, was to represent people in matters related to God. Do you need to be represented? Do you have all the holiness you need in yourself? I don't, because I turn around and I fail. But because Jesus took our place, he is there to intercede for us right now. This day, this month, this year, Jesus Christ is alive and he's interceding for his people. It's so much of a reality. That's the gospel. He wants it to live in us and us to be aware of it to the point that we go to him in a way that's... He wants us to go to him with confidence. He wants us to go to him with confidence. I'm going to go back and read this in the Amplified Version. This is what it says, if I can find it here. Sorry. It was fitting for us to have such a high priest, perfectly adapted to our needs, holy, blameless, unstained by sin, separated from sinners and exalted higher than the heavens. He's separate, he's exalted, and yet he's brought us to himself, and he's perfectly adapted. He was made our great high priest. And it's so that we can have this relationship with him now. And you don't wait until you've achieved this or that. You go to him just like you are. I think we sang that song this morning. Just as I am, without one plea, but that Jesus' blood was shed for me. His blood purifies us, but also is that he ever lives to make intercession for us. So there he is right now inviting you to come to him. He's inviting you to come to him, and despite your faults or where you've erred or fallen short, he's there to intercede for you and bring you back into the presence of a living God. Do you know he's our elder brother? I mean, can you imagine what it's going to be like to see Jesus, our elder brother, for him to look us in the face? He wants us to look him in the face now and to be confident and to trust him and to rest in him and continue to look to him. For what only he is the source of our righteousness. He is the source of our strength, our peace. It says that we come to that throne that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help when we need it most. But he's a wonderful high priest. He's a king, too. He's Lord of all. And he has the power and the strength to help us right where we're at. He doesn't condemn a single person in here. If you've strayed, and you know it if you have, because I tell you what does the word say? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, or you're sealed into the day of redemption. As a Christian, you cannot sin and say, I feel good about it. And there's something inside that goes, oh God, help me. But he's there when we say, oh Lord, help me. He picks us up. He cleanses us. And he enables us to walk with him. What's heaven going to be like? It's the presence of God forever. Can you imagine that? We've got so much to look forward to. But I'll say this. We've got something to look forward to here. We are the only people on the earth that have something to really look forward to. And that is, I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to see him come forth to me. And sometimes spending time is actually spending time with each other. Well, you know, Danny was talking to me a while ago. He was talking about this relationship. Like, if this is out of sorts, it's out of sorts this way. If it's out of sorts this way, it's out of sorts that way. We are part of Christ, and he's part of us, and we're part of each other. You know, and so that's the case here in this local assembly or anywhere Christ is. But also, how can we be a help and a light to this world if our relationship with the Lord is not what it should be and we're not spending time with him? I hope that doesn't sound condemning, because to me, it's a glorious opportunity and a privilege to spend time with Christ. He loves us. I don't know if this makes sense, but I'm so thankful that part of the gospel and salvation is that he wants us to know him, intimately know him. He wants us to experience what he has for us. Yes. That's his heart. And when he reaches out to us, that's, you know, come near to me, I'll come near to you. What a gracious God. He hasn't rewarded us according to our iniquities. He hasn't treated us as our sins deserve. He loves us. And when we're away from him, he says, come back. I want you to experience me. Not just an experience. I want you to experience me. It's the living Christ. That's who he is. I think I've said enough, and I'm going to head back there to the back. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I don't know how long this will be. So I think the Lord just got a different and a very good order this morning, and I appreciate it, because I believe that he wants the body to grow. And it isn't just a platform for me to speak all the time necessarily. There's a place for that because I guess of the broadcast, but I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate what he's sharing this morning. And I don't have any particular scripture in mind, but just thinking about what's been said, I wonder how much we really believe some of the things we sing and claim. Do we really believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from how many sins? All of them. Do we really believe that we can come just as we are? You remember the song that, who was it, Jim down in Florida? He used to sing about, how he messed up, and then he, wanted to go to the Lord, but he just went messed around, blew another day, and before he finally felt confident enough to go, like we've got to make up and make up for it. We can't go when we're in need, which is what the scripture tells us. And what's been said this morning is exactly right. How amazing is it that the holy, pure, righteous, anything you want to, any adjective along that line you want to use, God of the universe, the essence of what he desires is relationship with us. And how easy is it for us to just kind of muddle along in our lives and not really get that? You know, even the law, you think about the law that was given under Moses, and it certainly dealt in a lot of ways with the way, the worldview of the Israelites and how they viewed things and how they did things and trying to bring them more into line with God's ways. But when you boil it all down, what was the law about? How did you summarize the law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and strength, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. It all comes down to that. And if you get the very life, the very spirit, the very nature of God operating in us, man, there's going to be a power that will enable us to be something other than what we are. But oh, how we walk it a little bit at arm's length. Some of it is just self-will. Some of it is carelessness and getting involved. And, you know, it's what I read the news, but I don't read the news because I'm expecting good things. I just want to be, I want to know what's going on. I want to be aware. But if you read it and it causes you distress, don't read it. Don't look at it. But I'll tell you what, God wants to be real to us in this hour. And somehow, like I say, I don't know that I really have anything other than just pointing out the God's faithfulness to want to be with us. And how even in the wilderness, God's presence was there. And there was a way to deal with sin. They dealt with it through sacrifices that they had to repeat. But look at what God has done for us. There is one sacrifice for all. And it sets apart everyone who's being sanctified. I thought of one scripture. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Praise the Lord. It's at 9:10, somewhere along in there in Hebrews. Yeah, for by one, Hebrews 10:14, for by one sacrifice. Well, let me go back and read this. Day by day, every priest, now these were the Levitical priests that Steve was referring to. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, what an amazing statement. Praise God. When you and I mess up, we don't have to go and say, oh God, I need a sacrifice for my sins. Please provide one. It was provided once for all. That's the hope that you and I stand upon, rest upon this morning. We don't have to wait. We don't have to. I mean, it's been done. You know, I can sort of visualize under the law, the Mosaic law, where someone would come and they'd feel the guilt, perhaps this was something personal, and they would offer the sacrifice, and it's like, I can't really feel right until I offer the sacrifice. Folks, we can feel right the moment we turn our hearts to Him because it has been offered one time for all. Thank God that we don't have to wait and somehow requalify ourselves. Nobody here ever does that, right? You know what I'm talking about because I certainly do. All right? But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Oh, I love what the reference Steve made to us being in heavenly places with him. You remember that in Hebrews? I mean, I'm sorry, in Ephesians? That thought came to me in the course of the end of the week. Like I say, I had a lot of thoughts and none of them really went anywhere in terms of trying to put a message together, but think of where we are. Where are you today? Are you in a very earthly place? Do you know He has opened the door where you and I can be seated with Him in heavenly places? You remember how Jesus talked about the Son of Man who is in heaven? There was a relationship that actually he was in contact with heaven. Even though he was on earth, there was a connection between him and heaven that he called that being in heaven. Folks, we are in heavenly places in him. We have an authority. We have a place of acceptance. We have a place of victory. If God will make it real to us, can we not ask him to say, Lord, I need this to be more real to me. I need to spend time with you and believe that I can come to you and that you love me. And that in your process of time, you're going to unfold my understanding and you're going to build my faith so that I can rest in you and I can enjoy what you have given to me because, as we sang this morning, He'll give you everything. Well, He's not talking about Cadillacs and earthly possessions. He's talking about everything we need to be a part of His eternal purpose. It's already there. The riches are there. We're the ones who don't tap into them. We're the ones who get so involved in how we're feeling and what's happening in our lives that we're not connected to the source of everything. Praise God. I'm talking about me just as much as I am you. But folks, the Lord is constantly, I sense Him constantly reaching out, wanting us to get a hold of these things. It's not that we don't affirm them as doctrines that we believe. It's that we don't enjoy the reality of what we say we believe. Do you really believe that when you feel that disconnect, that you can go just like you are? You know, one of the lines of thought that I had and just didn't pursue it. How many of you have read through the Psalms and been made very conscious of the fact that David not only believed in God in some general sense, but there was a real connection. There was a fellowship. And it wasn't just that I know who you are and I worship you and I'm doing all this. It was something where he could talk to the Lord very honestly about how he was feeling. Oh, Lord, how long? Lord, I'm in a bad place. Lord, I'm feeling this and I'm feeling that. You realize you can go to God when you're feeling bad and say, God, I feel bad? And he's not insulted? We can be at rest in his presence. He knows exactly what's going on. His son was here. He knows what it is to feel sadness, to feel pain, to feel everything you and I could ever feel, and to the nth degree. This is something I certainly feel my need to get a hold of in a deeper way, but what a blessing it is to read. This man didn't even know. I mean, he saw something was coming, but he didn't know the things that we know. Jesus hadn't come yet. He saw him like afar off. He knew that there was a Redeemer coming, but to be able to have that kind of a sense of God and the relationship that he could have with God, where he could just come and be himself. Now, it's not doing it in a rebellious way, but I mean, he was absolutely just, Lord, I'm having a rough time. What's going on here? I'm trying to call to you and I don't hear. You know, Psalm 13 we've used so many times. How long, O Lord? And then he introduces that awesome word, but. But, and then he expresses a confidence and a faith. You know, there are times God is going to put you and me in places where that's how we feel, and he doesn't show up and change our feelings. And that is not an indication that something is wrong. That's an indication that God is seeking to bring us to a deeper place where our faith is more effective. Because if your faith depends upon what you see and feel, that's not really faith, is it? We're going by something else. But to have a revelation, to have God make himself so real to us on the inside that we can have a confidence in him regardless of what the circumstances and feelings look like. Folks, God is going to be putting us in places, and we've said this many times, getting us ready for our place at this hour of Earth's history. He is going to be putting us in places of great need. Look at what he did in the wilderness. He brought the people into places where there was no human answer. Anybody here in a place like that? Yeah. Well, everybody's doing great in your life, or everything's going great in your life, or else you're just afraid to raise your hand. But folks, every single one of us is going to be put in places where there's no human answer. Is that because God's angry at us? Is there something wrong, and that's why he's allowing us to get in this terrible place? How many times did I was thinking about the Israelites when they went out of Egypt. Of course, we knew there's a whole bunch of them that were rebels and they were purged out, but still, God was with his people, and he led them to the Red Sea. How many of you remember in Ten Commandments when Pharaoh rode out with his chariots, and he sits there and looks at the situation, and he said, boy, their God is a poor general. But their God knew exactly what he was doing. He was bringing them to a place where all they could do was just say, Lord. And the people themselves didn't even know to do that, but Moses did. And the Lord told him, go forward. Okay, there's a whole lot of water out there. And then he has this little stick in his hand that he'd used as a shepherd. You know, that's all God is looking for us, from us, just to use what we have, just to be who we are. And there are situations where God's going to put us in where all we have to do is just look to him and trust in him. And he's going to do something that we could never do. We are so good at trying to work things out and fix things and make them better. Oh, how we need to just learn how to rest in the Lord. And he took them out into the wilderness, things we've heard many times, in a place where there was no human answer. And yet was God faithful to give them their daily bread? You know what that daily bread is for us? It's hearing his voice. Hearing his voice. You know, I remember Brother Ricky, and most of you will remember this, preached a message a few years ago now, where he talked about having a conversation where we're talking to him and he's talking to us. And as we go through our day, there's this communication going on. And it isn't like we're putting on airs and trying to be religious. It's just, here's where I'm at, Lord. I'm looking to you. But also having that listening ear that we talked about last week. Having an ear that's able to hear when he does speak, because it is a small, still voice many times. And didn't the prophet say, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. I believe the Lord wants to lead every single one of his children. And he wants to be real to you and to me in a deeper way. And sometimes he does withdraw his presence, doesn't he? And he does it. I'll tell you, if he withdraws his presence and you feel that and it makes you, you know, it draws something out of you, I need him, that's a good sign. If the lack of his presence causes you to feel a need and a hunger that causes you to say, hey, God, where are you? What's going on? Man, that's an awesome thing. What an awesome sign, if you will, that God's done something in your heart. If feeling your need draws you to him and causes you to go out and just talk to him and say, Lord, help me. And even though he doesn't always come with lightning and thunder, I'll tell you, he can bring us to a place where what Steve was talking about happens. There is that voice of peace on the inside. Oh man, do we need that? You know, we think a lot more of our own abilities than we have any right to do. And I believe God is absolutely, he knows the end from the beginning. Doesn't he talk about the end as though it's already happened? Wow. You want to put your faith in something? My faith's not in America, it's not in the world, it's not in anything. My faith is in the one who has said that I've already been glorified. Man, I don't look glorified or feel it, and you get around me, you'll know I'm not. But I'll tell you what, we got a God who is able to finish what he started. When he says something, it's as good as done. And he longs to make himself more real to every single one of us. I don't know, this is rambling thoughts, but I appreciate what's been shared this morning, and I'm going to sit down. I think that maybe there's somebody else that has something that will contribute to this, maybe a testimony, maybe there's another word or another scripture that God has given. But isn't God awesome to be able to actually invite people like us? This is not for the super spiritual giants someplace. This is for you and for me. For we can actually go to the God of the universe and have that relationship that is real. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to come to this place where we measure up in our own eyes. But we just come as we are and know that he has already provided a way of full and complete acceptance. And I guess I never did get to that verse I was going to read. I will read it. I got distracted there when I was in Hebrews 10. Anyway, and since that time, talking about the sacrifice, since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Man, that's, you look at what the loosing of Satan that was mentioned this morning, and all the things that's going on, don't worry. God's allowing that to happen. But there will come a day when, boom, that will be done away and done away forever. But here's the key. Verse 14, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever. That's in the past tense, isn't it? He has made perfect forever who? Those who are being made holy. Isn't that interesting? You've got people who are in the middle of a process. Something happened back there that's already determined the outcome. Folks, that gives me hope. That makes me want to just come to him and say, Lord, I know you got stuff that needs to be done in my heart and my life. Lord, I give you myself. I humble myself in your hand. I draw near to you. I know that you're the one who knows my destiny. You've already set it up in motion. Help me this day just to look to you and to talk to you and to listen. And I'll tell you, what a privilege we have. Oh, my God, you're talking about what Steve was talking about, the privilege we have that nobody else in this world has, those who know him, to know the Creator of the universe, to have a hope that doesn't rest in what happens in the world or even what we can do, but just yielding ourselves into his hands and listening to his word and growing. Don't worry, he knows what you and I need. He knows the place to which he's called us. He knows the purpose for which we're here, and he's able to do more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work in us. To him be the glory. Praise God.
Thought of this scripture as different ones we're sharing here this morning. It's in Psalm 91. There are so many wonderful scriptures in Psalm where David talks about God's presence being real to him in the middle of all kind of different situations. And this had just come to me. But it's actually the passage where the scripture there where we read about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, and the devil said, you know, cast yourself down. It's written, he'll give his angels charge. They'll bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. This is actually where that comes from. But it's in Psalm 91. And we can start there in verse 11 and read a little bit of this. He says, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Of a Lord who's going to be with us through some pretty daunting circumstances, but yet he's promised to be with us. But I was thinking, okay, how do we lay hold of that? How do we enter into that and walk in that? That's what we're talking about this morning. How do we lay hold of these things? Well, look back up to where that started in verse 9, up above that where we started. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. You know, it says there, the Lord is our refuge. And I think as Christians, you know, we instinctively know that. And when something happens and something befalls us, some, you know, trying circumstance comes up, we have that instinct to call out to him. We realize there's a place of help, and we cry out to him, a lot like a baby, I guess, sometimes. You know, the baby can't do a whole lot to help himself. And the baby doesn't even know much about the circumstances. He just knows when something's wrong, you cry, and that mother, that father comes in and helps. You know, they'll do whatever's needed to fix the situation. It's their instinct to cry out. And we have that instinct. You know, the Lord is there, and we know that he's our father, and he loves us. And so in these times of trouble, we cry out to him. And that's good. That's as it should be. But, you know, the God wants more than just that kind of relationship. I think that's what he's talking about this morning. That's why it says, if you make the Most High your dwelling. I think about the difference between a dwelling and a refuge. You know, a refuge is somewhere you go when there's a problem. You know, you think about like the tornado shelters they have in the Midwest, or the bomb shelters they had in England during the Blitz, you know, and they would go down into whenever the Germans were attacking. I mean, a refuge is something you think of, I go here when there's a problem, and then when the problem's over, I leave, and then that's it. But this talk is talking about making God our dwelling. A dwelling is a place where you live all the time. And I believe that's what the Lord is more and more bringing us to move beyond just kind of going my way through life. And when something happens, oh, Lord, I need you. And then when that's resolved, okay, and I'm just back to, I believe he's bringing us more and more into a place where, Lord, this is where I want to live. This is where I want to dwell, because all these things we read about here, in fact, if you read this, the rest of this passage, you know, beforehand, if you go all the way back to the beginning of Psalm 91, that's where it talks about he who rests in the shadow of the Almighty. Yeah, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And it talks about all kind of different trouble people can get into, even seeing people fall at your left hand and fall at your right. And yet in the middle of all that, we can have peace. He even talks about plagues and pestilences. That certainly fits for today's, what we're going through today. But the point is, if we make him our dwelling, not just run to him when there's trouble, but say, Lord, I want to live here. I want to live in your presence. Learn what it is to just stay here with you. Then we have that peace. When we're resting in that shelter, or what does it say? When we dwell, yeah, we dwell in the shelter. What's the result? We rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I believe there's a greater rest that God wants us to have, especially in the times we live in and whatever else is coming. It doesn't really matter, because if you read it, again, it covers all kind of things. But there is a peace for God's people. And the key to that is, if you make the Most High your dwelling, he who is our refuge, no harm will befall us, no disaster will come near us, and we'll have that rest that he gives us. The kind of rest, he says, as what do we do with our anxieties that we naturally feel? We bring them to him. You know, we don't be anxious, we don't dwell there, but instead we go to him in prayer, we put those burdens on him, and what's his promise? That the peace of God that passes all human understanding will be able to guard our hearts and minds, no matter where we're at. I believe God's got that for us today, and I just thank him for this.
Praise God. I appreciate the way the Lord has moved today, don't you? I just had a song come to me, and I think it ties in a lot what we're saying this morning, what Lord's saying. And it's a song we sing in the choir, and it's Jesus Be the Center. And I just wanted to read a few verses of it. It says, Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my light. And it says, Jesus, be the center, be my hope, be my song, Jesus. And it says, be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live. Praise God. I just thank the Lord. You know, the what brother was talking about, we're just thankful that the things that we go through, that God causes us for him to be the center. He's always the center, but we just don't make him the center. I mean, he is the center of everything that goes on. And but I just thank the Lord for that this morning, that, you know, the Lord, as we look to him in the relationship that we were talking about this morning, that when you think about what he did for us, the cross, you know, I tell you what, we owe the Lord everything, don't we? He deserves to be the center. Praise God. Appreciate y'all.
Keep having something come to me. I'm sort of wrestling with it, but you know, when you think of the Psalms, you know, the Lord is our shepherd and we're his sheep. And, you know, sheep can get in briars sometimes. And sometimes they can be pretty thick. And one thing David said one time in the script Psalms, he said, I have wandered away like a lost sheep. He didn't say, I'll be back as soon as I can. He said, come and get me. And for some reason, I just had in my heart, I don't know if this is somebody that's Zooming or somebody here today, but sometimes, you know, we can get with some dark chains around us, and we need God to help us. And everything this morning, we know has been good, but you're crying out. But I just want to encourage you to keep crying out. Keep crying out. And I want to say this, and we sing that song in the witness stand of your life. I'll be the first to testify, Jesus never fails. I can do that. I can say that. I've been in dark places, and there are seasons in life I may continue. I'm sure I'm going to get in some more. But my God is faithful, and your God is faithful too. So if you're someone who's in some deep briars, maybe this is something that's plagued you all your life, Jesus has come to set the captives free. And he wants to break those dark chains. It is time for us to move on as the people of God, and he's... what a merciful and loving, faithful Savior and Father we have. Amen.
I'll be second to testify. And you'll say, Jesus never fails. We're riding to the church this morning. Just had a simple thought. I've been on the phone, or anybody knows if you want to talk about anything to do with finances or anything like that, you got to, or if you're going in the, say, the DMV, anything you're doing, you want two forms of ID, and they want your customer ID number and your social security number, and you prove who you are. And that we have it designed like that in America. We have different ways to prove who we are. We have these IDs and things. And my thought this morning on the way to church is, when we talk to God, he's not wondering, who's this? Not even a thought. It's like when Daisy's in the back seat and she says, Daddy, I'm not wondering which small kid is in my back seat right now. It's my kid that I love. And we talk to him, we say, Lord, I need you. He knows exactly who we are. He knows exactly what we need. And he hears us every time. That's just what I thought I had.